by His grace and strengthen us no matter the test. On September 11th, 2001, of the 2,977 who died in those attacks, 415 of them were emergency workers, first responders in New York City who responded to the World Trade Center. This includes 343 firefighters, including a captain, chaplain, and two paramedics of the New York City Fire Department, 37 police officers of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey Police Department, 23 police officers of the New York City Police Department, 8 emergency medical technicians and paramedic from private emergency medical services, 3 New York State court officers, 1 patrolman from the New York Fire Patrol, 1 special agent from the FBI. There were 75 firehouses in which at least one member was killed. So today, we honor those who willingly laid down their lives so that others might continue to live. People like Officer Moira Smith, the first woman to die in the attacks on September the 11th. She was in Tower 2 when it collapsed. Officer Smith rescued several people that day and is credited for saving numerous lives. She was also involved in the 1991 subway crash in Union Square. And was honored with the Distinguished Duty Medal for dozens of lives she saved on that occasion as well. People like Officer James Nelson, who liked to say, "When I go out of this world, I want to know I made a difference." On the morning of September 11th, he did exactly that. Nelson enrolled in the Port Authority Police Academy in 1984, was part of the rescue efforts in the 1993 World Trade bombings. During the 2001 attack, Nelson was killed while evacuating people from the 27th floor after refusing to leave the building and the people who were still trapped inside. Danny Sir loved his job at Engine Company 216. He was the first firefighter killed on 9/11. Firefighters of Engine 216 were some of the first responders to the terrorist attacks on September 11th. They were setting up near the South Tower when a jumping body from Tower 2 struck and killed Danny. Been a firefighter since 1983. So today, we honor those first responders who risked their lives and their lives permanently changed or ended up dying later as a result of their involvement as first responders in 9/11. People like Raymond and Robert Alexander, father and son, they were first responders who died within 10 months of each other in 2017 from cancers that were a direct result of their involvement at Ground Zero. And there have been thousands who have died, who are exposed to toxins and from different cancers from those attacks. So, I would like for us, before we get into the text of our scripture this morning, to have a moment of silence, and then I will lead us in a prayer for the families of those who lost loved ones that day, and for those whose lives were changed. Even this week, on Friday, 2 officers in Cobb County were killed in the line of duty. So we will remember them and their families this morning as we have a moment of silence, and then I will pray. Should we bow your heads with me as we have the moment of silence, honoring these who sacrificed their lives for others? Father, today, on this 21st anniversary of the terrorist attacks, we have much to thank you for in that there were so few people in those towers that day compared to what normally were there at that time of day. We thank you for those who were rescued, those whose lives have been spared. And we thank you for those first responders and others who were heroes in that they risked and some gave their lives so that others might live. We think of their families who will always hurt from that loss. We think of those whose lives have been permanently changed. People like my friend John, whose beat was the Twin Towers, and he traded shifts with a fellow officer who was killed that day. And Lord, we pray for comfort for them. And we pray that you would draw each of those who have survived to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are saved, that they might find comfort and hope. And those who have not trusted you yet, that they might find the comfort and hope of your love through the gift of eternal life. We thank of and pray for the officers who were killed in the line of duty in Cobb County on Friday. We ask, Lord, for your protection, your provision, and your comfort for their family members and for the community of friends and acquaintances who've suffered in this tragic loss. We think of those who, Lord, have died in the line of duty over the years as first responders, that they did not fail the test of faithfulness. And we pray for those who are responders, first responders today, that you would give them grace and strength and fortitude and to continue to face these dangers and to serve their community. We thank you, Lord, most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who laid down his life that we might have eternal life. For those who have not accepted that gift, may this be the day when they turn to Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. I also want to honor those who have responded to the call to be a first responder and who are faithful in their duties. Let's have a respectful round of applause for our first responders. I live on Temple Johnson Road in Snellville. If you turn out of my driveway and look up the hill to the right, about 100 yards up, there's an intersection with signal lights. And as I always glance both ways before I pull out, because we kept kind of a hidden driveway, I looked up to the right, up to where the intersection was, and there were red and blue lights flashing. At 7:05 this morning, apparently there was a wreck at that intersection, and there were the law officers and the EMTs and the firefighters faithfully fulfilling their obligations and responsibilities and helping those who were in that wreck. And I would never belittle the sacrifice that anybody has ever made of laying down their lives for somebody else. And though that is the most noble of sacrifices, to risk or to give your life to save another's, those rescued still will die someday. But Jesus' sacrificial death rescues believers from eternal death. So they will never die. Oh yes, the body may die, but they will spend eternity with God in His presence forever. And we know someday in the rapture that those who died in Christ shall arise. God's going to give us a glorious body. For Paul rejoices and exults in 1 Corinthians 15 that this mortal body is going to put on immortality. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. We shall be changed. And we will enjoy eternal life with God forever because of the loving sacrifice of Christ who laid down His life as the perfect and only sacrifice, acceptable, satisfy demands of God's justice and holiness on our behalf. Jesus loved us before we loved Him, and He sacrificed His life for us even when we were still His enemies. Let's look at our text this morning in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. For when we were yet without strength, folks, we have no ability to save ourselves. You may be sincere. You may be religious. You may go to great lengths to try to keep God's law, but the Bible declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are lawbreakers. We have broken God's moral law, and we have no ability through religion, good works, sincere efforts, or anything else earn or to receive on our own merit eternal life. In due time, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. See, I don't really picture myself as being ungodly. I'm not really reprobate. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says ungodly, literally without godliness. And without a relationship with Christ, you cannot have godliness. scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, the only thing it takes you to me, unlike God, is to sin once, because God is holy and has never sinned. So if you have ever sinned, you are ungodly. And when you were ungodly and without the ability to rescue yourself from the holy justice of God, His wrath meted out upon your soul in the second death in the lake of fire, which is justice. When we were without that strength, Christ died for us when we were ungodly, when we were sinners. Much more than now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. There were those who were saved from an awful death in 9/11. Many were saved and spared agonizing, torturous deaths. But others have not. I think one of the most sobering thoughts that I've ever had in my life was that there were those who burned to death in those towers. There were others who jumped from those towers. There were many who were killed in an instant when the plane flew into the Pentagon or into the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. How awful to die an agonizing death in those final moments and then wake up in hell. Because even though they may have been quote-unquote innocent victims, they were still ungodly sinners. And unless they had placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will forever experience eternal death. The wonderful truth and the good news is, at both Ground Zero and in Shanksville, we have Bibles that survived. I wonder if that retired missionary couple that was headed to relieve another missionary family that was on that Shanksville plane, I wonder if they were taking that Bible and sharing the way of salvation with somebody. I wonder about the Bible that you can see that has been melded into the rubble at 9/11 at the memorial site, open to the Beatitudes. I wonder if that was a believer that was clinging to the wonderful comfort of those words in their last moments. But the Word of God is there. The influence of the gospel was in those places. And folks, James says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But you know what a wonderful truth is this, that if we were to die some horrible, agonizing physical death, we who are saved, that pain would be over. And then we would forever be with the Lord. And yet there are others around us. And as Paul said, we don't henceforth know we know man according to the flesh. We don't just see them as other human beings. We don't see them as the person that delivers the mail, or the person that serves us in the restaurant, or the person from whom we purchase something at Academy Sports or Walmart or whatever. We see them as eternal souls. Not just the next door neighbor or that pesky neighbor across the road that has the loud parties or whatever. No, we see them as eternal souls, because someday they will face death. And they will enter into eternity. How wonderful to be justified by the blood of Christ. To be declared righteous, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of the one who sacrificed Himself for us, so that we will no longer come under the condemnation of suffering under His wrath. We shall be saved from wrath through Him, rescued. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, why were we His enemies? Because we willfully rebelled against a holy God and broke His law. We made ourselves His enemies through our disobedience, and yet God loved us and gave His Son so that through the sacrifice of Christ we could be reconciled to Him. And I love in verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word atonement here is the same word, root word, that we see for reconciled in this passage. It's a little bit different, though, and the nuance of the difference is that this word is often interpreted or translated exchange. 2 weeks ago, we had the exchange, where we were trained in sharing the gospel. And that's what this word means. It's talking about we rejoice because we have been reconciled. We have received the exchange. Christ took our sins upon Himself on the cross. He suffered the wrath of our unrighteous, ungodly, wicked sin. And in exchange, He will make us, declare us, give us perfect righteousness, a right standing with God, reconciliation with God, an eternal home with God, eternal life. What an exchange. When I was a kid, there was one year, my dad's an evangelist, there was one year when we stayed home because my mom was really sick, we went to a little Christian school. It was in my sixth grade year, and you could get almost anything you wanted at lunchtime if you had a bag of Doritos. That was like platinum when it came to power trading. I mean, I would trade for like cow tongue sandwiches and stuff like that for my Doritos when I had them. Man, I ate good when Mom put Doritos. Now, it was just kind of whatever Mom grabs, you know. And if we happen to have Doritos in the bag or in a baggie, man, you could get a lot of things. And all the time when someone would see my Doritos, you know what question they would ask me? Want to trade? Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ, and I want to say this respectfully, but Jesus Christ says to you, my friend, want to trade? You deserve eternal death because of your sin. You will face eternal wrath and suffering, but I want to trade. I want to give you joy and life and peace. I want you to have an eternity beyond your wildest imagination. I want you, instead of being my enemy, to be my friend, to be my child. Will you trust me? Want to trade? What an exchange. You say, well, how do I trade? What is the way that I can be rescued from eternal death? It is through personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible declares that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, Jesus, when He died, didn't stay dead. He arose again from the dead, and He conquered death. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which talks about this corruptible and mortal body putting on incorruption and immortality, we could say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then a couple verses later, Paul exalts with thanksgiving and says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus conquered death and rose again and has the authority, He has the power and the loving desire to trade you, to give you His righteousness if you will put your faith in Him. And the way that transaction is made is through a belief in your heart where you personally own that you have sinned against God and deserve eternal death. That you own and believe in your heart that Jesus, God's Son, loves you, died for you, and rose again. And then you simply call out to Him admitting that and asking Him to do what He promised, to forgive you of your sin and to give you everlasting life. A couple verses later, down there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the promise is this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call out by faith and trust Jesus and ask Him to do what He promised He would do. And that trade is made, and eternal life is yours. Will you receive the exchange through faith, trusting Christ to forgive your sin and accepting His forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life? But there's one more point that I would like to make, one more challenge. And this is more focused towards us who are born-again believers, who know Christ as our Savior. And that is this, Christ's example calls every believer to love in action. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, John uses the sacrifice of Christ and his example to challenge us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he said so. Is that what it says? No, though he did say so. But how do we perceive the love of God? Because he laid down his life for us. And then look what John writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And say, well, does that mean that we just go around and you know, after church, you go out in the parking lot and somebody's walking to their car and the car's coming, so you just throw yourself in front of that car that's coming down because, you know, you want this brother or sister to be able to get to their car safely? Is that what it's talking about? No. Although it could come to something like that. But John actually gives application in this passage. Look further. But whoso hath this world's good, or goods, material things, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, every one of our first responders deserves our deep gratitude and respect. Though most of them will probably not sacrifice their lives, every day they have to be willing to. And there's a lot that they have sacrificed to fulfill the calling that they have been given by God as a first responder. James chapter 2, James puts it this way in verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. My little addendum, praying for you, brother. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And then we will end with this admonition from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Lord, for the sake of souls, for the sake of your name, for the sake of my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, I present myself as a living sacrifice, a libation, a poured out sacrifice. Lord, I pour out my life for your glory and the eternal good of those who are around me. And if there's anybody that should be willing to lay down their physical life so that somebody else may continue to physically live, it ought to be the Christian. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't seek death, but we don't fear it either. And if in our sacrifice of our life, someone else is able to live long enough to receive eternal life or to share with somebody else, if they're a believer, the gospel, and another person gets saved, then our life, given in exchange that others may live, will be an excellent and worthy investment. Shall we bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord this morning? I'm not going to have a come forward invitation. My invitation to you is this: friend, if you don't know for sure where you would spend eternity, if you have not received the exchange, understand that no matter you may sincerely work very hard at trying to be righteous and earn eternal life or merit with God, it will never work. The Bible makes clear, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. If you are unsure of where your soul would spend eternity, if you've not received the exchange, though we're not going to have a come forward invitation this morning, I would invite you, when the service is dismissed, to come back to Connection Point. And I would be glad if you just let me know of your need to take the Word of God, sit down with you in a quiet place at the Connection Point, and share the gospel with you, the good news of eternal life. And you can settle that matter once and for all eternity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may we today present our temporal lives, our bodies, a living sacrifice. The next word is holy. Are you walking in a way that is in agreement with the gospel? Are you living a holy life that is pleasing and acceptable to God? He gave Himself for us. May we live our lives for Him. And may we be willing to sacrifice our lives for others. I'm just going to have our pianist play through two stanzas of an invitation hymn to give you an opportunity to pray. If you're not sure where your soul would spend eternity, just pray and ask God, God, would you please give me that spiritual light I need to understand? And would you give me the courage to ask somebody for help today? If you're a believer, however the Spirit of God has worked in your heart, would you just commune with the Lord and respond in obedience to His working in your life?